Phone Consumer Scenarios, world's longest title. My name's Vaughn Knight. I work at Nokia. I work within the developer experience team at Nokia. And our job, if you don't know, is to make sure that if you want to create an awesome app, that we're there to remove all the barriers. So if you're a manager and you're looking to get training for your staff, or you're a developer, or maybe you're a designer and you need to find developers, or whatever you need, you might be a student that needs a phone for testing on. So, you know, if you're here probably because you're interested in Windows Phone, or you're already working on Windows Phone. So if you are building apps and you want to come talk to me about them, please feel free to grab me afterwards. Oops, wrong machine. So that's me on Twitter. If you want to tweet, that's the hashtags there. So what I'm going to cover off today is really talking to you about, you know, the platform exists at the moment and people are using it in certain ways at the moment. But with those capabilities, you can do a lot more. And then I'm going to talk about where it's heading and where I see it heading. I work with brands and I work with people all the time, developers all the time, and they always have these great ideas and I can see it moving in a specific direction, so I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to go through and cut some code and show you just how, you know, with a small amount of code, you can actually make your applications that much more richer and more alive. So for Windows Phone at the moment in the ecosystem, there's a few, you know, quite interesting things. A lot of the applications that people are bringing to the platform, they're ported experiences. So they take an experience from one of the other mobile operating systems, and when they bring them across, they bring across the same experience. So they don't just recreate the application on the platform. Often it's the same screens, it's the same sort of experience. They're not using panoramas, they're not using live tiles at all. And where they are using the features of the platform, they're sort of early adopters of those features. So a live tile would just be maybe you know, just a static icon. It's not necessarily a live tile as such as it is just an icon. So one of the things that sort of I can see happening over time is there's going to be a lot more evolution in what you can do with those things on the platform. So live tiles are going to start to see some really amazing stuff happening there, to the point where people will probably pay you so that they can have a presence on your live tile. Leveraging all the platform capabilities. The hubs on the phone are an amazing way for people to find content within your application even though they don't have a live tile. And it's a great way for you to reach out to them. And I think you're going to see a lot of innovation on top of the platform capabilities. As I said, you know, if you had a live tile and your application was that present, you know, you might end up with an advertising platform that people are trying to seed advertising onto live tiles through your application. So some of the features that don't get used enough, sharing doesn't get used enough on the platform. That's sharing to and from applications. So your application can say, hey, I can consume sharing, and or it actually can share out to those other applications. You see this with the Engadget app, which does it incredibly well. You take a photo, you go share, and Engadget's there, and then you can post it. So there's going to be a lot of applications for people where they can actually use other parts of the phone ecosystem and their entry points into their application. And if there are more entry points into your application, people are more likely to use your application. The hubs, as I said, the video and music hub. So if you've got content and you want to surface it, but people have removed you as a live tile and then you have new content come through, you can actually have the background process run and seed content into the hubs so that when someone goes in to look at music and video, they go, oh, hey, there's a new video that I'm interested in. And when they click on that and they go to watch it, they're actually going into your application. Live tiles, definitely, as I said, I've already talked about it, and pin tiles are going to improve a lot. Line of business applications, especially for pin tiles, and live tiles for a lot of consumer applications. The big thing about the video and music hub is that it's very strong in regards to reaching out to people on the platform who've forgotten who you are. And their users that are looking for content. So people with you on the start screen are people that want you there all the time. They want that piece of content that you're feeding them. But the hubs are for people that they don't have that currently on their live tiles. They don't have the content readily available, and they're going into the video and music hub to consume content. So again, if you're a content provider, if you've got that content for consumption, if you're not using it, you're missing out, because that's the experience they want to have when they go into the hub. Whoa. One of the things that's going to evolve with live tiles is a lot more, you know, live tiles are passive consumption. So people use them. If you look at a start screen, people often will just look at the live tile. If you've installed the weather app, you probably can set it up for your local area and you've never gone into the application again. You just pull it out and you go, oh, it's sunny today or it's cloudy today. Maybe you go into it to see a forecast, but a lot of the time you don't even go into it. Onto the lock screen.
Yeah, so for example, the weather app, you
can
push it onto the lock.
So lock screen functionality hasn't been released, and it's coming to Windows Phone 8. That's announced, so that's not like some big. But it's not in Windows Phone 7 at the moment, and I don't know if it's coming to Windows Phone 7.8. And if I did, I couldn't comment anyway. And I think the way that you think about live tiles, and anything I tell you about live tiles here, a lot of the methodology and things I discussed, they can exist on Windows 8. So if you think about live tiles on Windows 8, the same things apply there. And again, if you think about lock screens are just a massive live tile that actually have prime real estate on a phone.
With regards to, say, running the background agents for live tiles,
yep.
Are the timings the same for Windows 8 as it is for Windows Phone 7, or are they customizable?
Windows Phone 8?
No, Windows 8,
because
you said that the live tiles in Windows 8.
I'd have to check. Sorry, I can't remember what the differences are because I've got three SDKs in my head at the moment that all have different timings. But you can do it off push notifications. You don't have to do it just off a background task. You can do it when the application opens. The demo I give you today is every time I open the application, I actually go and change the tiles. So we don't have to wait half an hour for the background process to run, otherwise it'd be a really boring demo. So, there's different ways to update it. The background task is that very passive way, the way that the user doesn't do anything, you're not having to push out push notifications to set up the infrastructure to get that benefit. Deep linking deep within your application. You see many different ways that this is used. You can have deep linking to an application which is like a bookmark. You go back into the application at a point, but then when you hit back, you go back through the back stack of the application. So you might dive deep within the application, but then when you hit back, you go back to the home page of the application. The other way that you see deep linking is a feature as an app. So I might have a staff directory within my application, and I pin that to my home screen. When I click on that and go into the staff directory, when I hit back, I go back to my start screen. There's no reason for me to go back through the application. So it's a really great way for you to actually have features that can really be leveraged and used and accessible to your users, and they don't have to go through the rest of your application. You're providing value to them. Content-aware, context-aware, and user-aware. So live tiles are going to change. Currently, they're generally content-aware. They're showing you content on the live tile. They know what content's available, and they're surfacing it. At the moment, they're rarely context-aware. You see some of this with the special offers, where they know your location, so they'll surface special offers in your area. But context-aware is more than just where are you. It's also based on your current behaviours, and that's where I've put user-aware up there as well. Based on what you're doing with the application, the live tiles should be changing. You shouldn't just have a live tile that's just sitting there, and it doesn't matter what the user does. It always is the same content. And that could be from something such as user preferences, or it could be some sort of passive analytics that you're doing on the user, which you don't tell them because I get paranoid. So I'm just going to give a quick cut across to the... just have a look at the eBay app, because it's a really good example of... Now, this is going to probably struggle. Oh, those are my private messages. Here we go. It's quite funny. I thought, oh, should I use my own phone? No, that's okay. And then I got an SMS telling me my gas bill was overdue. Okay, here we go. So this is the eBay application. Bear with me. And if I go in here and, like, I search for, say, a Niner mountain bike, And I have network. Network. No network. Come on. Oh, come on. Okay. What? Is there, sorry? The network's dropped? Hang on. Let me just, I'll just take it off the Wi-Fi. So with the eBay application, I'll just, am I on? Yeah, I'm on the Wi-Fi. I'll take it off the Wi-Fi. I'll go back in. So with the eBay application, it allows you to search. So let me just quickly test it again. If it doesn't work, I'll just have to describe it. Oh, there we go. Who would have known? So you can do a search. Now you get that search. So let's say I did a very specific search. I'm looking for some sort of collector's item. There's only three or four results. So what I would do is I'd just look at these results and go, well, there's nothing of interest there for me. So then what I'll do is I go in here and I can pin that search to my start screen. So then all of a sudden there's something, there's an action. It's not just going to search that I'm bookmarking. It's the act of searching and getting those results. So then when I want to go and do that search again, and hopefully the network plays nice. I'll just get that out of the light. It's going back in and it's redoing that search for me, so I don't need to do it again. So there's the results. And then actually wanted to buy some gloves. I go in and click on that with the slow network. And I go in and I say, okay, there's the gloves that I wanted to buy. And what I'll do is I'll pin that to the start because I want to go and check. It's got a while before it goes. If I went back in, when here, where I go straight back in, I can actually then go and bid on that item. I'm not going to do that now because I actually don't mountain bike. But if I go back in and I bid on that item, I then get those updates on my live tiles. I get push notifications that let me know what the current bidding price is at. But if you notice, if I hit back, I don't go back to search results. I go back to the start screen. Because to me, that is now just an auction that I want to look at. One of the really interesting things on Windows Phone, if anyone has a Windows Phone, you'll know that there's a me tile. There's your people hub and your me tile. But your me tile is actually a deep link into the people hub of you. It's not actually another separate application, which is handy if you accidentally delete it, because it took me about 5 days to figure out how to get back. But that's how invisible that was. I didn't know that it was a pinned tile. I thought it was its own application. And that's how you need to think about your own applications. So if I come back to... No, getting ahead of myself. So you've got bookmarking. So I just want to bookmark an actual item, deep linking to that item. I'm bookmarking a search, not just the page, but the action that I performed. I can have multiple searches, so I can have multiple things that I can go in and look at. And that way, the eBay application is actually surfaced right up to my phone that I might not even go into that main application again, because like looking at the weather, I'm looking at the things that I want to buy. And it's that passive content consumption. When I bid on something, I don't actually have to look at the phone to know that on the phone there is a bid on that item. I know that it's there and I can make that decision without having to go into the application. If I've got five auctions, I can look at five auctions at the same time. So I don't have to go and do all that interaction and check and double check. It's just there.
Can you group that? I don't know enough about that. Yes.
Well, I think if you wanted that, you'd probably just go into the application. So, but you can sort of group them on your start screen. And, moving forward with Windows Phone 7.8 and Windows Phone 8, you can actually have smaller tiles. So you could imagine if you're building applications, you could have that group there. And it's a very temporary thing. It's not something that you're going to... you're pinning it because you want it on your start screen. If it's not that valuable to you, then you don't pin it. You've just bid on it and you can go and check it, so you can check it later. If you bid on an auction, you don't have to have the live tile. It's just a way for people to customise it. It's the same as when the small tiles and the large tiles were announced for Windows Phone 7.8 and Windows Phone 8. People said, oh, it's now really complex, but it's only complex if you want it to be complex. You can still have the same look and feel as you have today. The other example of live tiles, and I think this is one of the best examples, is the Qantas application. The guys that worked on this just did an amazing job, and when you look at what it is, it really is a marquee, world marquee experience of live tiles. They have bookmarking, deep linking, features an app, very passive content consumption. It's very context aware. And so what I'll do is I'll just talk it through if you haven't seen it, because it's quite amazing. So you, when you book a flight, you can have your flight booked and you can pin that flight as a tile to your start screen. Let's say that flight's about, you know, 200 days away. And it'll tell me that my flight is 200 days away. But then the day, and when I click on it, I'll go in and I'll look at the flight details, which I think is the third screen there. So I can see the flight details for that flight. But then a day before the flight, I've got check-in available. And when I hit the tile, it doesn't take me to my flight details, it takes me to check-in. So the actual tile itself, the purpose of the tile has changed. Then, as it gets closer to flight time, it tells me that it's boarding, it's time to board, and if I hit it then, I get my ticket. And so that way, I'm not having to go and do different things within the application is aware of what it is that I want to do. I don't want to go and check how many days it is until my flight when it's 15 minutes before my flight. So by doing that, there's these really rich experiences that you can create. Now, for Qantas and for flying, you know, that's quite an amazing experience, but you can imagine there's so many different things that it could be good for. It could be sports scores, it could be sports results. My team is on that tile, but when they're playing, it takes me straight into the match, you know, and it's showing me the scores of the live game. But then after the game, when I hit it, it goes into the post-match review. Because if I'm into that team and I'm into that sport so much that it's there, I'm not wanting to go into the team to read the general team news and find out more about the team. I want to go in there and find out the context relative stuff. So, is there water here? So, I'll sort of pick up a bit of speed now so we can sort of go through some of the code examples as well. The other thing about tiles is people often put their brands on the tiles. And a perfect example are actually these three here. And what you find is that if you have these three installed and they're pinned and they're on your start screen, they're about just as compelling as each other. If you've got them pinned there, you know what they've sort of got within them, but you know they're sort of in that same realm. But one of the things that I noticed that Flixster does really well is that it really brings forward a lot of branding of the content. Now, when you look at that, the one that's going to be more compelling to you is probably going to be something that's showing you content that you're interested in. It's not going to be something that's saying, hey, I'm this brand. It's still saying it's that brand, and it hasn't lost its identity, but it's saying, you want this. And if you don't want it, it should show you something else to say, you want this, maybe. And so rather than just say, hey, Netflix should be saying, here's the latest content that we think you're interested in. So to me, the other thing that's important is every single live tile, so imagine these are eight different phones for eight different people, they can have a different experience. So rather than just have that icon, which is just that icon with that brand, because I know more about you, I can actually say, well, you know what, that guy likes children's movies, so I'm going to push up children's movies because he's always reading children's movie content or watching children's movies on his phone. Or he likes action movies, or he likes drama, or he likes romance. So that way you can actually generate a lot more people coming back into your application, because if they've pinned your tile, you need to add value. They can always go into the application list and run your app. And if they're in your app all the time and someone else comes along and they've got content, they're going to pull them away from your application. So another perfect example of this for me is all the music applications. There's a ton of them. And movies have great art, and the other thing that has great art are album covers. They're two industries that were sort of made for live tiles. Now, when you look at this, and I'll sort of tap through it, but when you look at this, you'll notice that... You notice that it got removed. Never mind. I had about five tiles there that were rotating with album art on each of those. And the album art itself, because it's going between those each of those icons, your eye follows it. Your eye doesn't look at anything else. So by not by providing just the brand, there's no interest. So if you're Spotify with millions and millions and millions of tracks of music, you should be saying to somebody, here's some new music you're interested in, or here's something you haven't listened to on Spotify. We know everything about you. We know all about your music habits, but we're just going to give you a green icon. What they should be doing is saying, hey, we know all about you. We know all about your habits, and we know you want this. Or your friends just listen to this. We know what all your friends are doing, and they're listening to this, and you like what these people listen to. Why aren't they showing that to get me to interact with their product? So surfacing content. So currently, the way the businesses surface content is very much with the latest article. So they show you the latest news article, or they show you the current content, the content that is very relevant to now. And sometimes it might be only promoted content, featured content, stuff that they really want to push to the top. And when they go and change that live tile, they go to update, hey, let's go and update the live tile, background process runs. It ends up being the same content. It doesn't change. Chances are, if somebody has your live tile and they're not clicking on it, and you put the same content back there, they're not going to click on it again. It's just the way of the world. But moving forward, and as I've sort of been discussing, live tiles are going to be more like related articles. You've seen that content. Was there anything related to it that I can show you that might also be of interest? Trending content, so not just necessarily content that's new and the latest, but content that's trending, or maybe even relating to the articles that you've read. You should probably refresh with new content every time. So maybe you have the latest article, but then when you refresh, you might, you know, maybe do the second latest article, or you might do something that you think they're interested in, and then go back to the latest article, or maybe you never go back. The other thing is, if somebody's actually read the article, there's probably no point putting it on the live tile. You probably should have another article that they haven't read. And then you can profile your users. They're using your application. You know everything about how they're interacting with your content, and you can draw some conclusions from that. Okay, so let's do some code. So I'll just run up this application. Got in trouble yesterday because no one could read my... That's really big, but so this application is just a very simple application. It's running off a local data store within the application. Your application will probably be running over web services or something similar. And when it kicks off, the application pretty much just says movies for you. And over here, it just has other movies. So this is a list of all the other movies, and this is the list of movies for you. So the way that that's driven, and I'm going to have to zoom out because I can't see, is there is actually a link query. I'll just sort of, sort of can see it there. So. And really all it's doing is going by release date. So it's just showing you things that have been released in the last 5 days, and then the other list is things that have been released beyond that. Now, that's not going to be of much interest to people because they generally know when movies are coming out, and then they might want to go and look at recent movies. What you want to do is start to evolve it. But at the moment, the other thing you'll notice with the application is, if I go back here to the Living Applications application, the live tile is nothing. It's pretty boring. So I'll go back into the app, into the code. And so this is where I've done the listing, and here I've got the live tile. And I've got some snippets here, which I'll pull through. Now what this is doing is it's going to see if there's any featured item there. So because this is running a local database, I have the privilege of getting my content and track it in the same location. You'll probably have like a local database that you'll be using to track the behaviors and what's happening and the interaction with that content, but you'll be pulling the content over a web service. So at the end of the day, you just marry up the IDs and away you go. So the first thing I do is go and check if there's anything that's actually featured as a live tile. And one of the things that I do is, if there's more than one, there shouldn't be, but even if there is, I make them false. And then the next thing I do is I go and find the first item by the release date, the newest, the most recent movie, and then I go and make that my actual, my featured live tile. So if I go down here and we just look at the code for creating that live tile. So creating a live tile, there's a few things. It has a title. You can actually have a count. And actually, while I'm here, I'll just do this so you can see what that looks like. The count is really like the badge that you show on it. You don't have to use it, but it's built into the platform to make it easy. Now, one thing a lot of people sort of forget is that a live tile can be anything. Anything you can draw within that 173 by 173 pixel square, anything that you draw within that can be on your live tile. So it doesn't have to be text and static and flat images. So here we have here, if I look at the standard tile data definition, there's an image URL, which is goes and gets the poster art from one of the folders. That's just some URL munging there. So there's a background image. There's a count, which is the badge. You don't have to use that. You could go and generate your own. There's a title. And all you do then is once you've grabbed the tile, so if I go up here, you'll see I go and get the active tiles for the application, all of them, if there's one or if there's more. And you'll get one back even if it's not pinned, so that when somebody does pin it, they get the right tile. And then you get the first one. The first one is always going to be your primary live tile, your main tile for your application. And I just check that it exists, and then I go and configure it. So what I'll do is I'll go up, or I'll just run the application. And on startup, this is setting the live tile. So you don't have to do it on startup. You can do it on interaction. You can do it many different ways. So on startup, it goes and changes the live tile. So if I go back here, and now you see that number 5 I typed in before, that's how the badges look. So if you don't like the look and feel of that, you can actually go and draw your own, but this is just an easy way just to get those in there. So here we have the application. I've even changed the title of it to say Hotel Transylvania or on the latest movie that was released. But you'll notice that when you look at the tile, it's a lot more compelling. You could put some branding over the top of it or whatever the logo would be for your company so people know that that's that application still. But that's going to be a lot more compelling. And that's quite easy to do. There's not a lot of code to put that there. You do need the images in the right size and in the right format. But once you've got that set, you're done. Another thing that's important to remember is if the images are within your application, which, again, as a demo, I have the luxury of doing that, you need to make sure that that they actually are set as a type of content type. So they need to be content and they need to be copy always. It's one of the gotchas. People go and put all their images in there and think there's something wrong with their code, and after about half a day they realise that it's just the content type set wrong. And people do that even though they've been doing this for years. It's just one of those things that you sort of, you know, never ever learn. And when I mean people, I just mean myself. So that's pretty straightforward. That was pretty easy. So, but it's pretty boring. And I'll tell you one of the problems with it. One of the problems with it is I go back into the application and I click on Hotel Transylvania. And so this is the page with, you know, which would be the page that you would be looking at with, you know, the description, and it would be laid out a bit better than this one here. And so you go in through and you go look at it, but this individual wants to pin it to their start screen, and then you end up with this problem. You end up with two live tiles that look exactly the same. Even if one of them had the logo on it to make it obvious which one was which, there's no value in having the other poster art on the main tile. So what you can do is start to change the way these tiles behave. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to start going through a few scenarios that'll start to evolve the way the tiles behave and start reacting to the way that I'm using the application. So if I go back here, I'm in the right one, yep. So the first thing I'm going to do, so there's two things. The content that's on that main page and the content listings on those page, and then there's also the content that is on the tile. And they should go hand in hand. So I don't mean they should be the same, but if you're actually trying to understand something about your user and drive value to them, it should be a unified approach across your application. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'll remove that listing. I've got a snippet here that I've put together. And this one is probably not what you would be doing as a business. I'll just do that and I'll run that up. But this just assumes that everyone likes action movies, as they should. It's popped up in the back. So you'll notice here that all the movies here are action movies. Now, that might be based on a user setting. So a user might say, hey, I want to have that specific item as my main content. That's the content that I'm actually interested in. So that's sort of why I've hard-coded in there. It's not that I think that everyone should like action movies. So if you had a setting somewhere within your application, someone could select it and you would see that behavior. And that might be your preferred approach. For a lot of businesses, though, that might end up meaning that they can't feature content, or it might even be content that the user's interested in. Problem with settings is people, when they first get applications, they use them, but then they never go and change it again. And then they think that the limitations of the application are what they're seeing before them. If there's a season with no action movies being released, heaven forbid, that would result in a very short list here. So you need to understand that maybe it's not the best idea to just narrow it down to a single genre. So if I go back here again, and I'll change the listing to comedy. So there we are there. And what I'll do is I'll also change the live tile to reflect that as well. So here, same as what I was doing before, I've just got a variable called comedy there. But the reason I've done that is I just want to be able to reuse it down here. So so what we're doing here is the tile that we're going to get for the main tile on the start screen is going to be the comedy, the latest comedy movie that's been released. So I'll pop back into the application. And it's popped up behind everything. And so here we have now comedy is actually the content that we're seeing. So here we've got a heap of comedy. Some of it's tragedy. And then in here we have every other movie. So the movies that we've seen before are now swapped. But if we go back to look at the live tile is the latest comedy. So now we're not doing it by release date, even though we are sorting the comedy by release date. We're getting the latest comedy. Again, issue is if I pin Ted, because I go, oh, wow, that movie, go in, pin it, I end up with the same problem again. So I'll just show you something that's also been happening in the background. So one of the things that I have with the schema that I've got for the movie is I actually have this thing called an interaction count. Every time I interact with that piece of content, I increase that number. And so if I go and view that piece of content, I increase that number. If I pin that piece of content, I increase it considerably. It's like a score. It's not really a counter as such. It's like I've pinned that, I've heavily interacted with that content. I've viewed it, I've lightly interacted with that content. Now, this is not by any means the holy grail of a recommendations engine, but it's just a simple example so you can get a bit of a feel, and it might apply to some of the work that you do. So by doing that, I actually keeping track of how content's being interacted with. What content am I interested in? Am I looking at a lot of action? Am I looking at a lot of comedy? Romance, whatever. So, and also by doing that, so here you can see this is when I browse to content. So when the selection changes in the list, so when I select an item in the list, I actually increase that count and then I go and navigate. So I submit that to the local database and then I navigate away. And by doing that in a really simple way, I'm just tracking that. But what's also quite good is when I go up here, I can actually So I can actually go here. And I can actually do a query using that field. And what I can do is I'll remove. Did I just do the wrong thing? I did. Sorry. So here we go. So some of this is probably a little bit verbose, but so one of the things here is for the listings now, rather than hard code a genre or use settings as a genre, what I'm doing is I'm going and looking where, so you see that link query at the top here. The link query is actually saying, from all the movies, group them by genre and go and get the sum of all the interactions with that content. So if I'm interacting with a heap of comedy content, I'm probably interested in comedy content. If I'm interested in a heap of drama content, heap of whatever. So what that does is that just goes and finds my what's being dubbed my favourite genre. And then you know ordering that by the sum, pulling out the name of that genre, I can then use that as the thing that I use for the categories. So this way, and I'm not sure how much content I've interacted with, because if I've interacted with masses of comedy, this formula doesn't work if I all of a sudden have an interest in action. But, oh, error. Genre does not exist. You do not exist. Good. So I go in, and here we are. Here, and so the thing that I've been interacting with the most is going to be comedy. So one of the things that I can do to break that is go to a heap of crash the app. Sorry about that. And by crashing the app, no, here we go. It wasn't handling me going back so fast. Oh, it was straight away. So I've pinned those tiles, and all of a sudden it said, well, actually, you're interested in action. Because by pinning a tile, I'm giving it a score of 5. So that was like 10 interactions. And then if I probably went through and clicked through on a few comedies, you'd see it go back and forth. I'm not really sure if there's actually the other genres. It might be a bit tricky because there's only like a couple of romance, so I'd have to pin them, unpin them, and pin them again. I'm that excited by them. So, but by going back and forth, all of a sudden I've created this rich experience. But this is within your application. This is what people do all the time. But what we can do is we can go and apply that to the live tile. So we'll go and throw that on a live tile, which is here. Just make sure I put it in the right spot. And genre does not exist. Hang on. I'll use you. So then if I pop back into the app and we have a look and we go back, we'll see that it's changed to this movie here. Now, what's interesting, and one of the things that I'm also doing, is every time I feature a piece of content, I also track that. So what that allows me to do, and I might not be able to do it now because all the numbers of all the time things have been featured are quite sporadic, but because the content that I'm looking at gets featured, the next time I want to go and feature some content, I don't want to pick it up again. Because why would I just keep going and saying, hey, there's this movie you're not interested in because you haven't clicked on me yet. Hey, you're still interested in that movie and you haven't clicked on me yet. But when they have clicked on it, they have seen it. You're guaranteed that they've seen it. So you definitely shouldn't put it back there. So if I click through here, and hopefully based on the magic of science, you'll notice that then it changes the Expendables, because the Expendables now has less interactions than Tiger did. So because I went and looked, I went, oh, wow, the Expendables, I'm going to go into the application because of that. By going into the application, and you could change the way that the application launched because you know what's on the tile when they click on it, so you might even feature it at the top. But by going into the application, as a user, I've seen it. I don't need to see it again. You don't need to show me again. So when I go back, show me some other content. So, yes? So you can from pinned tiles, you cannot from the application tile. So that's why I store that it's actually the featured one in the database, so that when they come in, I know that they're looking at the featured tile.
Say you've got live tiles on your home screen.
Yep.
I assume there's no way to track whether someone's actually gone down to the bottom, seen yours, and seen that it's updated?
No, only the fact that you would have updated it and not long after that they came in and hit it, but you wouldn't know that they've actually seen it. So from it, that's one of the problems with if people, you know, if you were Rovio and you've got an Angry Birds tile that you know everyone's got installed, you could sell advertising on the back of that, but you would have no idea how many impressions that you had. Yeah. But in saying that, they probably know the install base and they know how many are pinned. So they can actually say, well, there's this many people got pinned. They have, that's their own financial problem. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And you also want, as you say, you put the live card to actually showing that as a link.
Yes. So, I mean, you think of a toast as another live tile. It's just a different shape, different form factor, and it can behave, you know, and I would be doing both. But let's leave the questions to the end so I can sort of get through the rest of this. So, I mean, this is sort of the end of, I guess, the coding bit that I was doing. But what you can see here is that the application is a lot more alive. So imagine if I went in here, I didn't even see the content, and I didn't even see the content on the screen. And like Tiger before, Tiger's down the bottom off the screen. So it's content I haven't interacted with. It's content that hasn't been featured. I haven't seen it. And because of that, I mean, it's not going to be the next one that comes along. But here I should have been going, well, they've got Total Recall pinned. I won't show Total Recall. I'll go and pick the other one. And the formula can get really complex. So that's why you want to keep it simple. Otherwise, you'll be chasing your tail going through all the edge cases. But I go in and I leave the application. I go in again. It should be the next one, I think. There should be some new content on the next one. And so I leave the application and go, hang on, I didn't see that. And then I'll go back into the application and interact with the application. And some of this might be, you know, here we've got movie content, it could be music content, but it can be line of business applications. You might have notifications for people that they need to address something and you want to just sort of surface that. It might be stock, it might be the latest stock changes, changes in stock prices that people want to see. So I'll pop back across to number one. So a few other bits of advice that I see for people developing on Windows Phone. One of the things that you should be doing is use the native UI. Use the native UI language because that's what users are expecting. There's a lot of people that think that some of the applications are just installed on the phone by default, and they think they're installed on the phone by default because they installed them on day one and they haven't uninstalled them. So Weather's, again, a really good example. It's incredibly native. And there's just no barriers for the user. So when they go in, they're used to the platform. I mean, and this is, you know, it doesn't matter what phone you're developing on, you should be using the native UI paradigm. Now, a lot of people talk about using PhoneGap for a lot of things, but if you really want to hit it with your users, you really need to be native. You know, you might use PhoneGap for totally different reasons. That might be, you know, sort of investment to get across a lot of platforms, but if you really want a native experience for your users or a great experience for users, you need to be native. And by reducing barriers, it makes your application just easy to use. They're not even having to think. And if any of you saw Shane Morris's sessions, he talks about, you know, how the brain works and how important it is to make it so that the brain doesn't even have to understand what it's looking at. It already knows. And you don't need to be an expert to see people when they use applications that have the right look and feel and behave the right way. That's the case. Powerful feature-based apps. We're seeing more and more of this all the time. Instagram, Evernote. This is a platform that really embraces creating feature-based apps. You know, Evernote is an application that lets you take notes. Instagram is a photo that lets you share photos with filters. But very, very simple ideas. And if you create a feature-based application rather than one big monolithic sort of functional application, you can pin those features and you can surface those so people can just use those. the me tile, a search directory. You know, they can just be like little business cards that you pull out of your application for reference. You know, if you're a line of business application, it might be if you're in HR, you might have HR tools and guidelines. If you're in finance, you might have calculators or approval for expenses or something like that. You'd be able to pull those out, and then you don't have to look at the rest of the stuff that you've got no interest in. And maybe employee benefits is something that the HR person has pinned all the time so that they can refer to them. But the person in finance only goes into the application and looks at it when they need to. So features aren't just for consumer apps. They're for line of business apps and other things. The other thing that you really should do when you build your application is publish it. There's a lot of people that come and talk to me and show me amazing applications that just never end up existing at the end of the day. You shouldn't be afraid to get your application out there. The store is growing, it's growing fast, and there's still a lot of opportunity for people. So if you don't publish, you don't exist. The way to get there is just don't be precious. You really need to sort of go, okay, let's just get out there, get my app out there. I talk to people all the time and they say, oh, I've just got to do this. And that's where their applications are. They're at that 95%. Meanwhile, someone else comes along very quickly with an application. It's probably 50% of what theirs is, but then it starts building a user base. And so keep your apps focused and be realistic about what you're actually implementing. So here I've got this sort of really rich live tile experience that's not perfect, but at the same time, if it was perfect, then you know I'd be winning the $1 million Netflix prize. So you know you need to sort of just keep it real. You know, hey, this works quite well. Hey, it keeps my application quite dynamic, but at the same time, I'm not going to spend a lot more time on it. There we go for time. Good. The other thing to do if you write an app is broadcast. Tell everyone. Make sure people know that you have an app. And by that, I mean me. Tell me. Tell me what your app does. If you want to get your app featured in the marketplace, I can tell you what you would need to do. I'll tell you what would make me go, hey, everybody in the world, this is what great app. It does this, it does this, it does this. And if you tell me what it does, then I'm more likely to know. I'm not going to go through every app in the App Store and try to rip all their features apart. Create demos, again, videos and demos for what your application can do, because that's also really important. It's easier for me to then go tell the next person if there's a video or a demo of your app that I can go and show. And where to start. So you can get all the tools from create.msdn.com. They're all free. You should also check out developer.nokia.com. There's a really good developer community on the Nokia website. There's sort of two communities around Create and developer.nokia.com. You'll find that a lot of people across both. Start building today. So I did say check out the other Windows Phone sessions. I think there's obviously there's video footage of those that's going to be online. There's a marketplace one this afternoon if you're interested in learning more about the marketplace. There's my session from yesterday which ended up on this slide. But the other thing is back to back against the marketplace, I'm doing a game development presentation at the end of the day, so please feel free to come along to that. I'm going to have some shirts to give away. The other day I left my suitcase open with the shirts in the exhibition hall and came back and like a heap of seagulls, all my shirts were gone. Which is fine, I can see some of them here. That's totally fine. So please feel free to come along. I might be kicking around the Nokia stand at some point, but I'm not going to do the shirts down there. I only do them in the session at the end of the day. I mean, they're amazing. People think you look cool. So thanks, everybody. I'll move it to questions. Yes?
Is there a way of rolling out like business applications?
So it's been publicly announced that Windows Phone 8 will have sideloading of business apps and have line of business application support to make it easier so you don't have to go through the marketplace. There's also the corporate hub, which is actually going to be a marketplace, I think. I haven't seen it, so I'm sort of speculating, but it's like a marketplace for your line of business applications that only the people within your business have access to. I'm not sure how that works. You might have to have a domain or something so that it locks it all down. But that'll be a way for you even to, give access to not just everyone in your business, but specific people. So the HR person only gets access to the HR app, and the finance person only gets access to the finance app. But that you'll be able to sideload for Windows Phone 8. I'm not sure if that's all devices, but that's definitely coming. It's been announced. For Windows Phone 7.5, you can't. And for 7.8, I don't know. So, yes?
That was all about the user experience. Can you animate it?
The tiles? Yeah. So the tiles don't animate, they're static, but they turn around. So you have two sides, but that's not like two frames. It's really just, it is like a card. The reason they don't animate is really just, you know, battery consumption. If they were animating, you have a lot of content on there and a lot of live tile content on there, and if they're pulling down data as well, GPS and animating, it's probably not going to be.
And there is something that can, like, just say, hey, look at me for the user, or just...
Well, you can do that with push notifications, so when they get a toast alert. So then they can get a toast alert, and that can actually do the same thing. They can update the tile, but at the same time, if they hit it, it's the same as if they... You can make it the same as if they hit the tile, and so it can take them straight into the application. And again, that's another entry point into your application that you should track, because you know that they've seen it. Same as with the music and video hub. If you go into the music and video hub, you know, you can see that item within the music hub, and then when they hit it, you know they've come from there. So it's the same as a live tile. It's just somewhere else within the phone.
How do you actually know who that user is? I mean, to the phone number, to their live account?
No, you don't. Well, you don't know who they are. You just know that it's going to be the same user, unless there's 500 people using the same phone. There is a unique identifier on the phone. So if you like the UUID for, I'd be very careful about using it a lot. There's been a lot of privacy issues over time. People don't like that it's shared. But one of the things you can do is you can hash it. So then, you know, it becomes super unique, you know. I'll just go.
Yeah.
No, because it's only on the phone. So it's how you do it. How do you do it? If you do it and do it to a database on the back end somewhere and publish it to a website, yeah, there's probably privacy issues. But if you just keep it on the phone, keep it within the phone, you shouldn't have any privacy issues. I mean, applications all the time store data about what you're doing on them, and games store high scores. They know how many times you played the game. So, you know, that storing it within the actual device is not a problem. Up the back.
Can you check what other ones they have pinned, like from other applications?
No.
You can't find out.
That's definitely a privacy issue. Sorry, I'll just repeat for the mic, but that was checking tiles from other applications. No.
But yeah. Do you have any access to stopping apps from creating new tiles?
So say that again? Okay, so the question is, if the application can create new tiles, was there any way that the user can stop them? So when a tile is created, so when a tile is updated, nothing happens, but the tiles already exist. When a tile is created, you end up back at the start screen. Your application's not running anymore, so it can't add 100. If you went back into your application and it wanted to add another one automatically, it would kick you out again. If you're still using that application, then you know, that, probably the third time the application gets removed from the phone because people don't want to use it. So, should have said something. I'm actually giving away two of these in this session. But he is just before he walked out. That's okay. Or just after, so not before. Question, yeah. Yeah, so I'm using a local database on the phone because it's a lot easier to query and group. You know, if you can use Link and SQL-esque languages to query the data, you can think of all these ways that you can group it and then sort it by something else, and it just makes it quite elegant to store it that way. I'd be a little bit concerned about doing it any way that you couldn't query. So it doesn't have to be a database, but if you can't query it, because as you learn more about your users, or you want to capture more data about your users and understand what they can mean, you want to have that flexibility to query the data. So, you know, you can use whatever form you want, but you want to make sure that you can, you know, query that. I think if you're collecting too much, you're probably making it too complex. You keep it simple. back far corner.
Yeah, with the light tiles, is there any simple way of overlaying a brand onto those on the image that
you use? Yes. Yeah, so that the live tile, those pixels, you can do whatever you want with them. And you don't have to have text overlaying them. You don't have to have that. It's just think of it as a live tile is like another screen that you've got. And you can put anything on it. It doesn't have to be just an image without a logo. You can do a watermark. Anything that you can create in Photoshop of that size, you could put onto a live tile, and you can do it through code. Up the back. Correct.
And you also use live tiles where the images, they come from an internet source?
Yes. You pull them down, you throw them in isolated storage. You can put them in shared, or you can put them in the app storage and use them there. So I just had to happen to have mine in the app. And I think that's one of the things that catches you, and this is the reason you get caught, is because you go and start doing an application that does pull them from the web, and then when you want to go and use an embedded image, you forget that you need to have the right type set. So like what you can do with Windows 8, where you've got the roaming profile and you put some settings there, and you put the high score there, can't beat it on any other computer, that sort of thing. No, not this stage. And I can't comment on what's coming. I don't know, but it'd be nice to see. I mean, I would love to see that in apps, because you'd be able to do great companion apps as well between devices. You read?
Yeah. Can you put apps together, like have a link from one app to another one?
No. And I'm not sure what's coming in 8. I haven't seen it. But I think launching other applications is really important, and it's on the other platforms. So it needs to be there, but at the moment, no. And I think the other thing is it's sort of sometimes frowned upon from a store approval process what your app actually does, because people create apps that then just go and launch another app. Show an ad, launch an app. You.
Can a deeply linked pin tile remove itself after it becomes zero?
Yes. I think the application has to execute to remove it. So obviously the pin tile, it'd be great if you could set an expiry date. But if you think about the Qantas example, I think the tile's there, but then when you go into the app and the app knows that, hang on, that tile's invalid, when you go back to your start screen, it's gone. So any execution on your app can do that. Yes.
Like the music and video hub. Yeah. Are you able to then modify the live tile of the music and video hub?
No. No, so you can't modify the live tile of the music and video hub, but when people go in there and they're seeing that content, it's like another live tile. That should be the way that you think about it. So it's another tile that you have that sits somewhere else. It's not on the start screen, it's within another application. So then you can change that to be something that's, you know, if they've already seen that video, don't, you know, maybe show not the latest video, but the second latest video.
So you just kind of one layer down rather than the start screen.
Correct, yeah. And it's a really great way, because you know that they're trying to find content when they come in there. The users that use it, use it to get content. A lot of people go, oh, well, I don't use it, I use other stuff, or I don't listen to music or watch video on my phone. But for those that are in there, you have a very specific, you know, mindset in those users. Who haven't I? Is there? Yeah, you.
I'm just wondering, how do you go about, if you want to give someone a trial of your application, maybe for 30 days or something, is it something you have to do in code, or is it something that you configure when you deploy?
So your application can have a try and buy feature, and the trial feature, the application knows that it's running in try mode. You can't do time limited trials from memory. I might be getting my platforms confused because I've worked across everything. And in-app purchases coming to Windows Phone 8, that's been announced. But I don't know about 7.8, but in-app purchases can be a good way to manage that. But if you want to do a try, like a 30-day trial, where you might do the try before you buy option, they hit try, you know when they, I think, first try the app. I think you have this... I think you have the date that they actually got the app. And so you could actually say, well, 30 days later, I'll go into cutback mode. So I'll give you full feature and then I'll give you... Depends on the scenario. If you want to give someone a trial that just totally blows up after 30 days, you probably wouldn't get that through the marketplace. Right at the back.
How often can you update the lifetime?
How often? So there's a process that runs every half hour. You get 15 seconds to do whatever you want. Live tiles updating is part of that. You also can do it based on push notifications. So you get a push notification, you can update the tile. There's even a push notification that only updates the tile. Doesn't even execute anything, just updates the tile. As much as the push platform will allow. Yeah, totally. So people do some near real-time stuff. Because you can do raw notifications that don't even pop up on the phone, but can do interesting stuff. And then the other way you can do it is someone's in the application, you can do it, you can update a tile non-stop. You know? That's when it can be animating. It could be when you're not seeing it, it could actually be animating. Down here. Not extensive, and for something like this, the speed is it's a sort of like a negligible speed difference. You know, you're only looking at 50 rows. If you had every movie that was released in a whole year, you'd probably have 200 rows. You would cull everything after that. So if it's not a release movie and this was a cinema app, you would only have probably 30 in there.
How about where data usage and data store is going to increase over a period of time, not only by the user but external?
I would look at everything, but I go and profile them, because if you've got a heavy read database, it's going to be a totally different answer to if you've got a heavy read write and update, and how big is the data that you're pulling back? Are you querying really complex object models? So I would definitely go and trial it. I would go and put your object model into each database, create a heap of dummy data and test it. You had a question here. Push notifications.
Yeah. So what your recommendation, do user is setting which they can use, how much it can be updated in a few seconds?
Yeah, I would. So just for the mic, the question was around how often can it update and how would you manage that? I would give the user the option. So when they even pin it, you might even give them multiple pin options. So when they go pin, you might actually pop them and say, update every 5 seconds, update every this, update every that. You want to be careful of battery usage. Live tiles are great. If the application that someone writes is poorly written, like any platform or any application, it can be a drain on the device. So you don't want to be that guy, because they will just uninstall your application. You want to have the application that gives them the ability to be flexible and is efficient. So yeah, it's probably the right approach yourself. When you update a live tile, it depends if you get a notification or not. How are we going for time? Okay, so there's two phones here. Last question from you, ever.
Can you, because you don't publish your name, your apps know your own app? Is there a way to query, like, what do you install of your own publisher app?
No, because the question's around, if you have two applications that you've both published and they're both on the same phone, can they communicate? No, and the reason they can't is because, for example, I wrote an application that had totally different purposes, but one of them has credit card details in it and the other one doesn't. So there's a privacy breach. There might be different privacy policies for both those applications, so they shouldn't be able to talk to each other. So there's a lot of security issues when you start having app-to-app communications. And it's not just, you might trust me, but, my applications are bound by the contracts of themselves. No.
Can I not
knowingly... No. But But you could know if you had analytics in your apps and you had the ID of the device that you were hashing, and then you use your analytics. So you could track, hey, I've got 5 users with 10 of my apps installed, and I've got, you know, 100 users with 1 of my apps installed. You can get that through other means. You don't need to get that from the device. Okay, last question. You buy a Nokia Lumia Sorry, continue. I would go and look at the CPU usage of your app. You know if your app's doing something that's quite heavy, and I would go and put it on a device and have it run. Like, if I was going to recommend a device, of course I'm going to recommend a Nokia Lumia, but I would go and test on a real device. You can't really profile that anywhere else more than on a device. Batteries, you know, different batteries, different CPU, different other things running on the device. They all behave differently, even though the reference architecture is fantastic because they all behave similarly. I would go and check that out. And you sort of half asked a question, so I'm going to give you your go. No, I doubt it would get picked up. And the thing is because it's the user's prerogative if they want to use an application that drains their battery. They might have it plugged into their phone. So if you think about background tasks that use GPS, so I might have, So I might have a phone sitting in the dash of my car, and it might have a mapping application on it that's doing background tasks with live tiles. But that's on power. I want that to be doing high battery or high power usage tasks because it's used for that. So therefore, you couldn't say, no, you can't be on the store because of that. You know, it's the user prerogative is whether they use the application or not.
You do get a please explain on that.
A please explain, yeah. And I guess the thing is the please explain is something that people can always talk around as well. So why does your game drain the battery in a day? And it's because our users really want to know the scores of their friends straight away. You know, rather than it's just poorly written, I can't be bothered fixing it. You know, it's a lot easier to come up with some colourful language, right? So I'm going to do... Oh, too many questions. Questions are right. Question time is over. So just quickly, what I'm going to do is I need to give these phones away. The last session, I've got two because the last session one was promised, and if anyone's presented before, you do forget a lot of stuff. So now I have two. So the odds are pretty good. So what I'm going to do is you get your phones out because you're going to need to tweet something, and I don't want to sort of... Yes. If you ask too many questions, you need to submit phones. Okay, so this experiment may go bad because of the network. It's the 710. There's two of them. So I might... Oh, here we go. There was going to be a problem if I couldn't check the tweet. So you're going to be tweeting? What's that? Am I meant to feel sad for you to give you a phone? The saddest phone in the room.
When can I make my Twitter account?
Yeah. Okay. So the first question is, what is the width in pixels of a live tile? Oh, no. Just tweet hash WPH333, which is... WPH333, what's the width and the size of a... People have done it? Okay, hang on, I've got to learn how to use Twitter again, WH. 333. Okay. If you can give me all of them, that's fine. the dimensions in pixels. If you can, the second question should be, can you fix the oh, hang on, here we go. Here we go. Oh, Sheeds. I think it's you. Let me just quickly check. It is. Did everyone do it?
Yeah.
How many people did it? it's not. It's
do it by order. Whoever says it first.
Yeah, I would do it by order. It's only coming up with one. Oh man, this is a failed experiment in science. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. No, no, it was only showing Sheeds because he's like popular and stuff. Garogi. Yeah, that's you, man. Gerogi. Oh, sorry. The answer is 173. So the one for you. Well done, man.
Thank you much.
Oh, and in the essence of the networks being bad, this number two was Shrikanth. Oh, there we go. Congratulations, man. So thanks, guys. Make sure you do your eval forms. That's what gets me coming back next year, if you enjoyed it. I'm doing the game session later today. That should be a bit of fun. It's going to be a C++ session, but it's not really about C++. It's about games. It's at 1:45. It's in this room. It's going to be the last session of the day. Thank you very much. Yeah.